Hello, this is John Alsop, and it's your Internet Marketing 5 a Day. First off is just something that was inspired by looking at Netflix. Actually, somebody put up on my Facebook that the suggestions that had come from Netflix, and I don't really, I'm more of an arts film kind of guy, so I don't really follow popular films. And I don't subscribe to Netflix, so I had to ask whether he was being sarcastic or not, and he was. Netflix had suggested that because he'd watched film A and film B, he might like film C, and as far as he could see, there was no real connection between them. And when I went to look at Netflix, what they seemed to be majoring on is the social side of things. So they really kind of, and this is a $1.5 billion turnover company, and their first pitch, okay, not their first pitch, but very much their main pitch, is that you will see what your friends are watching. So it's now, you know, I've got lots of friends on my Facebook, and I wouldn't say that we share, that we are friends because we share a taste in films. And this comes back to the early days of Murdoch-owned MySpace, where you were supposed to define yourself according to the films that you liked. And that's fine for defining yourself, but that doesn't mean that you hang around with friends who like the same films. That's not how people gather together. So it's kind of nah, it depends who you're dealing with. I suppose if it's aimed at young people, then that tends to be a little more tribal. I don't know whether I'm stepping outside of my knowledge zone here, but I'm kind of thinking that. And so films aimed at 14, 15, 16, 17-year-olds, you know, they will, you know, many of a great percentage of those will kind of watch those films because they're common, they form a common language and a common bond. But once you get beyond that and start running your own life, get out of school and get out of heavy duty peer pressure, then there's nothing, you know, nothing joins me. I'm not connected to people by the films that I watch. So I'm not really sure that that works, but they are this $1.5 billion turnover company, so they obviously know something about what they're doing. And fine, it's nice to see, you know, this friend has watched that film, and, you know, that's interesting information for me about them, and so long as the two are tied together, then I can make my own judgments about what I want to watch. Fine. Okay. But the exercise really is that Netflix, being such a big company, is taking social that seriously that right on the front page, right there is the Facebook logo. Right, you log in using Facebook credentials. You know, it's really taking the social thing seriously. So the exercise for today is really to imagine what a really social competitor in your space, in your business area, would look like. And, you know, it's probably not out there yet, but you could be that one. So that was the exercise. Okay, next off, you know, you get the calls, the cold calls, hello, how are you? And you kind of want to say, well, sod off, I was fine until you called, because, you know, I was doing something really pleasurable, or I was concentrating and now I'm irritated. But you say, I'm fine, thank you, you know. And I always resist, how are you? Because I don't care and I know they don't care. But the I was just reading about the kind of psychological basis of that, particularly if people are calling about charity. Because if you go, I'm fine, then if they say, if they lead on to say, well, could you give us a fiver for children with whatever disease in Africa, da da, then because you've just said I'm fine, then you look stingy if you're not going to give a fiver because you're fine, but they're not. So that's the kind of psychological basis for that. I just found that interesting. So the alternative, I guess, is to say I'm absolutely awful. My, you know, cat's died and so on. Or sod off. What do you care? Anyway. I can't remember if I've mentioned this before. This is the next one. Talking about UPS. I'm reading a book in which UPS is held up, like McDonald's has been held up before, as exemplars of how businesses should be run, in terms of micromanagement, in a sense that, you know, UPS, I seem to remember reading, has a 3-minute meeting every morning in which everybody discusses whatever. The book actually said that the speed at which UPS employees walk, did it say 2 paces a second, is determined and practiced and expected. So it's micromanagement in the extreme, and McDonald's, in order to provide consistency, which was its main selling point, that you could buy a McDonald's anywhere in the world and it would taste like a McDonald's. And that was its main selling point. So they had to micromanage their business. UPS, obviously, were going along a similar route. And, you know, there they were in this marketing book as exemplars of great service. And for me, what stands out about UPS is when I ran a PR company, we had deliveries all the time, and the UPS driver was rude and surly and left his van in the most awkward positions, blocked the path, all of that. And so we genuinely, the office groaned when the UPS driver turned up. And as I drove around, I drove, I don't know, 50,000 miles a year. And there was a lot. I formed the opinion that UPS drivers in general, this is in the UK, were kind of rude and, you know, didn't drive politely and so on. And so that was my opinion of UPS. And it, so what this experience tells me something about is that obviously that micromanagement is happening in the States, but I'm not right sure that it's happening here in the UK. You know, maybe it's a more recent thing. My experience was several years ago. But anyway, I guess the story is that you can be well managed, but it's how it's actually delivered right at the front to the customers. Next up, just this idea that the idea of the consumer, the person who defines themselves or buys their way into the life that they want. That's what a consumer is. And the idea that the idea of the consumer was born when American soldiers returning from fighting fascism in World War II didn't want to be seen as a cog in a wheel in the States when they came back and got jobs. They didn't want to be seen as part of a corporate structure or one of many. They wanted to be individual, and the consumer was created as an idea to meet that need. So I don't know whether that's true or not, but I liked the idea. And the final thing was just a single word. I liked doing this, but did I lose anybody for just doing a single word? Yes, I lost 2 people for just tweeting collaborate. But I think, you know, I mean, what more is there to say? Some people, and I don't know whether this comes from I've seen it most strongly in what's the kind of religious outfit that Tom Cruise is part of? Them. I think this is linked to them, the idea that there is no shortage in the world. There is there's plenty. All you have to do is you know, organise ourselves to share it out properly and so on. The idea of collaboration with your competitors, for instance, you know, there's obviously you're going to be strong in some areas, others are going to be strong in other areas. You could actually swap leads. You could actually work together. Somebody who was, I was on somebody's training course and they were saying, a competitor is only someone that you haven't built a relationship with yet. So, you know, and we see it all the time on, say, the high street where, you know, all the electrical shops are all owned by the same people, all the jewellery shops are all owned by the same people. It's all very well, you know, sitting on an island business and not working with anybody, but collaboration is the way forward now that we are socially connected, because you can find people to work with to handle the things that you're not so good at, and you can build capacity and you can get business back from others. It's a new social world, and collaboration is very much part of it. And so that tweet was about thinking how you could collaborate more with others. Simple as that. That's it for today. I'll talk to you tomorrow. Bye.